You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And I want to thank Professor Bob Harvey all the way from, warm Charlotte, North Carolina, for gracing these airways in the first hour. But man, you know, no better 1-2 punch than the follow-up, Professor Bob Harvey, with another giant in his own right, Mr. Reggie Jackson, who's an award-winning journalist and speaker, researcher, and writer with a deep, comprehensive knowledge of how our country's racial hierarchy developed historically and its impact on our lives today. Reggie has won so many different awards, too numerous for me to take the time out to talk about today, but welcome back, dear brother. How are you?
Thank you for having me back, Earl. I'm doing well. Thanks.
You know, phone lines open as always at 855-752-4842. You know, Reggie, want to do something a little bit different with you than what we did with Professor Harvey the first hour. The first hour, we went back historically and talking about different things that have transpired in the history of this nation. With you, I want to talk about today and where we are. You're a historian, very renowned in your own right, but where is this nation today, Reggie, on race, on actually the American people themselves? What do you see with where we are today?
Earl, I see America being where America has always been when it comes to race issues, particularly as it relates to black people. We haven't changed. You know, people, you know, convinced themselves when Barack Obama was elected that we were in a so-called post-racial America, that we had solved all of those issues. But we've never had an open, honest conversation about race in this country. And when we tried to over the last, 5 years after George Floyd was murdered, you see what happened, the backlash against that. Shows you that America has really not made the progress that people have been convinced that they were. And I tell people, listen, the election of Barack Obama was not, a sign that we had gotten over race. Because if you look at the exit poll results from 2008, Barack Obama received 42% of the white vote, Earl. That means 58% of white people that voted in 2008 did not want Barack Obama to be their president. And when he ran again in 2012 for reelection,
39.
That number went down to 39%. So right. That's 61% of white people did not want him to be their president. So how can you say that that's, a sign of a post-racial America because a black man was elected when a majority of white people, a huge majority of white people did not want him to be their president?
You know, Reggie, I always hear, many whites say to me, isn't it getting better? And my response always is, I can't buy it's getting better because it never should have been where it was in the first place. So it can't ever be that it's getting better. The fact that what transpired in this nation and some of the things that continue to happen to people solely because of the color of their skins in this nation should be unacceptable. It's unacceptable anywhere in the world. It definitely should be unacceptable in America, which claims to be the beacon, of light in the world.
Yeah, I completely agree, Earl. One of my favorite quotes related to that is what Malcolm X said. He said, you can't stick a knife 9 inches into a man's back, pull it out 3 inches and say you're making progress. That's not how it works. But that's literally what's going on. People, oh, well, you know, things have gotten so much better. Not like it used to be. Things always change. You know, the one constant in life is change. Everything changes, Earl. Nothing is like it used to be, because people are constantly evolving in terms of their thoughts and their views and the way they treat each other. But, you know, we just had an incident, a little over a week ago, where a young biracial woman went to get an oil change for her car. Something as simple as that. She received a call from that place where she got the oil change saying that, you know, one of the techs had left a tool in her vehicle and they wanted to come and pick it up. So she checked the vehicle. There was no tools left. And what she ends up finding out was that they were sending somebody there to remove a sticker from her window, because the tech that did the oil change, or someone there, wrote the N-word on her sticker. And they were trying to come and remove the sticker before she noticed it, but she saw it before they got there. And then, of course, they said, you know, the dealer is like, you know, well, we don't approve of that. You know, we think that's horrible. But that happened. That was a week and a half ago, Earl. That's a sign of the times. I tell people, like, listen, I'm not a pessimist or an optimist. I'm a pragmatist. I look at things from the evidence that you present to me right now. What does that tell me? And all of the signs when it comes to race relations right now tell me that we are in very bad shape as a country. So we have not made progress. We're backtracking, in fact.
So, Reggie, so 2 years ago, affirmative action was wiped off the table. And it was wiped off the table because, 60-some-odd years, whites said that it was discriminatory against white people to have affirmative action, and that wasn't fair, that wasn't right. Never mind that 400 years of it was what brought about affirmative action, and yet 60 years, only 60 years of it, they wipe it out. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is the one thing that Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans have attacked and clearly stated that our number one issue with this election is to do away with diversity, equity, and inclusion. So all universities, major corporations are being bullied into doing away with what, Reggie? Diversity? Isn't this nation diverse? I mean, I don't know. What is the definition of diversity, Reggie? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know, but I'm sure you know.
It does take a genius to understand that the diversity, in terms of how we look at diversity in this country, look at the demographics of the nation, Earl. We are a very, very diverse. We have people from so many different spaces on this planet, you know, as our population. We're a very diverse nation. And, you know, the one thing with diversity, America has always been diverse, Earl. Since its beginnings, it was a diverse place. People from so many different places have you know, made this place their home. Some against their will, of course. But I always say that, you know, the problem with diversity is that America has never embraced that diversity, has never seen it as a strength. They've seen it as a weakness. And you know, this conversation in recent years about DE&I, you know, people talk about diversity, equity, inclusion as if they know something about it. But most people that are talking about it, that are criticizing it, don't really know anything about it, Earl. And I always say, you know, if you want to talk to me about diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, people want to debate me about it. I say, listen, I can't debate you if you don't know the subject matter. I'm not going to debate you if you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to waste my time doing that, because, you know, this is the work that I've done for a number of years, doing diversity, equity, inclusion, training, workshops, things of that nature. Facilitated dialogue with people from around the state of Wisconsin. And people have embraced the ability to sit down and talk to people that are different than themselves, Earl. That's from my experience. But I know at the same time, there are people that didn't want to be in those spaces. And from what I can tell your audience, Earl, the group that was generally missing from those sessions when I would travel around, particularly the facilitated dialogue sessions, where we have people talk about, you know, their differences and how they can come together and, you know, find some common ground. The people that were generally missing from those sessions were almost always the same demographic, white men. They just didn't show up, Earl. Very few of them would show up. White men have been told that they are victims, that they are the victims of reverse discrimination, that affirmative action was designed to hurt white men, ignoring the fact that white women were the greatest beneficiaries of affirmative action, or ignoring the fact that affirmative action was only needed because of stuff that had been done in the past. It was a reparative tool, Earl. That's what affirmative action was. And DE&I initiatives are designed to look at, you know, spaces that people occupy and ask, you know, is this space really expressed in the same way that America is? Does it look like America? Because if it doesn't, then there's something wrong.
So, Reggie, let me ask you, because the attack on DEI has not only been aggressive, it's been angry, it's been hostile. It's like there's a war. And when you hear Donald Trump and others, this is a war and we're shutting down DEI and that's over. We're going to bring it to an end. Why with all the other things going on in this nation, the fact that they've singled that out, Reggie, some of us know what's behind that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Here's my opinion on that, Earl. After George Floyd was murdered in Minneapolis, you know, there were widespread protests all around the country, even all around the world. And one of the things that I noticed was that white people started to become interested in hearing the stories of people of color more after that, right? They wanted to hear about the Black experience, learn about it. And they bought books, they listened to podcasts, they attended events, all these different things. And I think that that scared some white people in the country, because now, you know, your cousin Bob, you know, who has always been in lockstep with you about racial issues, now has a different opinion. He has the exact opposite opinion. He feels that racism is bad. And so now you're having a conversation you've never had before. And I think that that fear of white people crossing over the line and having interest in these, you know, these marginalized groups that they never had before really brought a lot of fear into the hearts and minds of a lot of people. And I think that's the crux of what this argument is about.
And you know, Reggie, many of those who felt that way have interaction with Black people probably on a daily basis. And many inside of this society don't have interaction with Blacks at all on a daily basis. And that's part of the root of it. 855-752-4842. Our phone lines are open as always. My guest is none other than Mr. Reggie Jackson, award-winning journalist, author, speaker, researcher, on and on and on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
To the Earl Ingram Show, a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My good friend, Mr. Reggie Jackson, is on the docket, journalist, award-winning journalist, speaker, researcher, author, on and on and on. Let's go to the phone lines. Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan, thank you. You say what?
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to share, you know, a thought that it just saddens me when I hear this conversation, because we're supposed to be better than this as a country, as people. And as somebody who lives in New Jersey, who occasionally drives up to New York and sees that Statue of Liberty in the harbor, I just wonder where people have gone away from this country being a melting pot. And as far as everything else that's going on, well, I mean, it's a cult of personality that's sitting in the White House now. He purposely used people's prejudice, their hatred, their fear, every tool he could put on the table, he did. And I'm sorry, as somebody who is, I was born in Ireland, adopted, brought over here, but I am white. I'm a white male. And it's just sad to see what's going on in our country. I mean, I try to go out and I try to always be friendly to people, everyone. And I think we've just forgotten that. But I have to, in my heart, hold on to the hope that this country will get back on track. I'm not saying all our problems will be fixed, but every day when I get up, I have to have it in my heart that this country will get back to where it belongs.
You know, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. You know, Reggie, we need to have conversations with people like Brendan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for those comments, Brendan. Can I just respond real quick?
Go ahead, Reggie.
You know what? Listen, hope is not enough. We can't just hope, because, you know, the signs are, you know, staring us in the face that we're in the wrong place, Brendan. You know, obviously, you know, when people talk about the melting pot, I always respond in the same way. Not everybody was allowed into that melting pot. We weren't. We as African-American people were not allowed to be part of that melting pot. We didn't come over to the Statue of Liberty. We were dragged over in chains on slaving ships. And so our experience here has not been a representation of this so-called melting pot of America.
All right, let's go to CJ. CJ, you're up.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Earl and Dr. Harvey.
This is not Dr. Harvey. This is Reggie Jackson. Is not Professor Harvey.
Oh, okay. We switched. Well, thank you, Reggie and Earl. I'm wondering why the Democrats for 40 years have voted for Democrats. The black community in record number did not this time. Black men voted for Trump.
Black men did not
vote
for Trump.
No, they did not.
They did not vote for Trump.
A small percentage of them did. Check your math. Check your math.
A record percentage.
Well, what is that percentage? What is that
percentage?
What is that percentage, CJ?
21%.
Absolutely not.
And, you know,
it wasn't that much. And even if it was, that means 79% did not. Do the math, man.
You guys don't want to hear a question.
No, we don't want to hear fiction.
You want to talk over me.
Hey, CJ.
No,
we don't want to hear fiction. We're talking truth. Okay? So whatever you feel and whatever you think doesn't make it the truth. So go ahead.
Well, let's just say that you laughed at me the first time I said that black men are going to turn to, and they did, and they turned conservative, and they believe in it.
Well, okay, Reggie, you want to first off, bring him down. Reggie, did black men turn to Donald Trump and conservatism?
No, they did not. A small percentage of black men voted for Donald Trump. I mean, just check the math. Even if let's just assume that his numbers were correct. 21%, which it wasn't even close to 21%, did vote for Donald Trump. That means 79% voted for Kamala Harris. So how is that a turn towards conservatism when, according to his data that he's using, which I don't know where he got it from, shows clearly that nearly 80% of black men voted for Kamala Harris, not Donald Trump.
All right,
black
CJ,
men did not turn.
Some CJ, respond to what he just said.
Well, the mere fact that the Democrats continue.
Hey CJ, this is not the Democrats. Hey, CJ, respond to the statement you made in the beginning. Blacks voted for Donald Trump when he just told you 80% of blacks did not. You totally dismissed it.
You know why? You know why? Because they watched Kamala turn to illegals.
It's Kamala, not Kamala.
Illegals.
Hey CJ. Hey CJ. Again, you're CJ.
Complain about it.
Hey, bring him down. Hey CJ, you're talking to two black men. Okay? As if you're speaking for black men. He just told you 80% of blacks did not vote for Donald Trump. You know, what part of that don't you understand? 855-752-4842 is the number. It's part of the reason why, Reggie, it's so hard to have the conversations, because a guy like the last caller is so locked into ignorance that he doesn't want to see, you know, any change. 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is the one and only Reggie Jackson. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. My guest is the one and only Reggie Jackson. Again, you know, Reggie, I'm going to go right back to the phone lines. Let's bring in Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. How you doing, sir?
I'm enjoying a wonderful Motown Monday. Can I make a Motown request?
Yes, sir.
Rare Earth.
Oh, Rare Earth.
It is a Motown-supported band.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. Get ready. So, you're talking about get ready.
There you go. And celebrate and a few others, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know, lies, more lies are... You know, I don't care if it's Benghazi, the Russian hoax, the locker-up, the stolen election. They are still being echoed yet today by right-wing influencers on right-wing media. I heard it over the weekend. I heard it last week before. And, you know, Brandon posed an interesting point in his call earlier. You know, we all have a sense of right and wrong. You know, we all have that compass, that moral compass inside us. But yet, for some reason, these right wingers, they're ignoring their own common sense, their own, you know, they're choosing to be ignorant, in my opinion. I know it's kind of a harsh thing to say, but, you know, what we're seeing in this takeover, this tyranny, For anybody to say that this is fair and this is how people should be treated by, you know, other human beings, you know, they neglect it to recognize, you know, the Sermon of the Mount, which is the teachings of Christ. They totally ignore all this. They totally ignore equal application of the laws. My question that I'd love to pose on CJ and Mark and a few of the other right wingers. Are we no longer a nation of laws, in where we now cower to the power of one man? Is that how in any way is that symbolic of the United States of America as we know?
Well, you know,
it just doesn't. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Mike, I don't want to get us off the mark, and the mark is we're talking about race in this nation, and so I do agree with you. I mean, we know what Donald Trump is doing. A lot of us, as people of color, we see what Donald Trump is doing as, you know, certainly at the root of it is racism, doing away with DEI, the firing of the four-star general, for no reason other than the fact that Donald Trump believed he's a DEI hire, and the fact that across the board, Donald Trump and many other Republicans clearly want to see these things wiped out. You know, yes, I agree that, you know, who and what Donald Trump is, but Reggie, is it bigger than one man? Is it bigger than the Republicans?
Absolutely, Earl. You know, these are just symptoms of the disease that America has and has had, you know, since its beginnings. Its basic foundation was based on racism. Listen, all we have to do is just open an American history book and look at how Native Americans were treated by the English when they first arrived on these shores. Look at how people from Africa were dragged here in chains, to understand that those mindsets have not changed all that much. You know, we like to tell a story that's mythological, you know, this mythological story of America is, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave and liberty and justice for all. But I tell people, listen, that doesn't work with me, because I know I have factual information about the fact that my family was enslaved in this country. I even know the name of the people and their history of the people who enslaved my family. So you can't sell that story to me. But most Americans have been fed that story and believe it, and don't understand that today is directly connected to yesterday, because those mindsets have not changed. You know, I tell people that you can change laws, but you can't legislate morality. And as far as, you know, morals, the same people that brought us over in chains claim to be Christians, Earl. They claim to be Christians. And so, you know, this idea of Christianity somehow absolving you of wrongdoing, it just doesn't work.
Hey, Mike, thank you for the call. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
I want to hear your reaction to my statement. I really think Donald Trump is going to be easy to deal with, and here's what I mean. I think it's really easy. We should get a lot of Ukraine flags, Ukraine colors.
Hey Bill.
Bill. Yes, sir?
Hey, Bill, I don't mean any disrespect. The same thing, you know, we're talking about an issue in this nation, racism, that impacts and affects, continues to be at the root of many things that happen in this country. And so I don't want to, you know, there's a time that we'll talk about Donald Trump and those things.
Okay, well, can I make a comment on racism? I'll run with that.
Yes, sir.
Look at how we joined ranks in the 60s to march against racism. Look how we did it. Look how we walked, and I shouldn't say we. I was part, you know, I was involved, but not that great. But look how they marched in the heart of Mississippi, Alabama. They went into the heart of the beast, and they marched, and they won. Why did they win? Because the numbers, they just kept coming.
So, Bill, let me ask you, do you think that what happened during that time, do you see any correlation today? Do you think that today we've come so far that racism is not an issue, not a problem in our nation anymore?
No, you remember Bull Connors?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay. We've got another Bull Connors in the White House. Well, we know how we dealt with the last Bull Connors. This is how we're going to deal with this Bull Connors.
Hey,
you
Bill,
know what I mean? Yeah. Same thing.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Reggie, you want to respond to Bill?
Well, you know, I think that Bill has to understand. I'm from Mississippi. I was born in Mississippi. I was born in a town where we had separate swimming pools for black and white kids. Many years after the civil rights movement ended, the swimming pools there were still segregated. And, you know, we talk about how we came together. We didn't come together. White people decided to join force. A small segment of the white community decided to come to Mississippi and join forces with the Black people who've been fighting for equality for, you know, their entire lives. That was not a reflection of how most white Mississippians felt. They were beating the hell out of Black and white people in Mississippi. They were killing Black and white people in Mississippi. So it wasn't this, you know, kumbaya moment where everybody came together, as people like to try to pretend the civil rights movement was just kumbaya moment where we all came together. No, that's not what happened in reality. Some white people crossed ranks and joined forces with Black people, but most of them didn't. And if you look at the Mississippi of today and the politics of Mississippi today, it's not much different than it was in 1965 when I was born. It's not, you know, the reality. The reality is that things haven't changed all that much, even though we like to believe that as a country, because it makes us look better. But the reality is, come on, man, you cannot talk to Black men and tell us that things are so much better, or that, you know, if we want to fix things, we got to do what we did in the 1960s. This isn't the 1960s anymore.
You know, Reggie, if you look at the economic reality of Blacks in America today, contrast that with whites, it's almost as horrible as it was back in the 1950s and 60s. And people may not want to believe that, but if they look it up, they'll find out it's a fact. You know, and
yeah,
so, and,
you know, you're right, Earl.
No, go ahead,
you know, one of the things that Dr. King was working on at the end of his life was looking at, you know, economic inequality in America and addressing that, you know, with his Poor People's Campaign before he was assassinated. That was the main issue he wanted to focus on. And if we look at the data, it's clear that, you know, in many respects, Black people are worse off now than they were back in the late 1960s. For instance, here in Milwaukee, if you take a look at, you know, reports by the UW-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development, it shows clearly that Black people are very far behind white people in economics. Here in Milwaukee, we're worse than every other major city in the country. By all those measures, I really advise people to look at those reports of African-American well-being, and you can see very clearly that we have a long way to go and that that issue was not solved by the civil rights movement.
All right, let's go. Khaled, you're up next.
Oh, okay. I got three aspects of a question. I don't know which one you can deal with this amount of time, but in the old days, they used to refer to African-American boys at the time as a bald eagle, the dying breed. I like your opinion on that, if you have one. And the second one would be, you know, Curtis Mayfield came out with a song in the earlier days, Mighty, Mighty Spade and Whitey. You speak of the crumbling towers. Do you think that these crumbling towers are crumbling today as was in the past? And my third aspect was the, as referred in the, Lamont Kendricks thing in the NFL when he inferred about the Squid Game that's being applied today on America, which is also includes, I think, middle class poor whites. So I don't know which one you can comment on.
Okay, but, let's give him a shot, Brother Khaled. Thank you very much, Mr. Khaled. Reggie.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Appreciate that. Listen, as far as economics, one of the things that Americans just are so misinformed about or uninformed about completely is that all of us as Americans have suffered greatly economically based on where we were 50 years ago. All Americans are making less money than they were making 50 years ago. That trend has been consistent over a number of years. Regardless of who was in the White House, it didn't make a difference.
Right.
Those trends, and part of it is the fact that, you know, America decided to attack unions and destroy unions. Union jobs were the jobs that created the prevailing wage in communities. So if you were working at a non-union shop, you had to, you know, as the owner of that non-union shop, you had to bring your wages up to match the union wages in order to get employees. And so because we've destroyed unions. We have Americans making less money than they made before. I just did a talk the other day with some school children. I showed them that in Milwaukee in 1970, for instance, Earl, you know this very well. Black people in Milwaukee in 1970 had the seventh highest median family income in the country for Black people. We made the equivalent of what would be about $50,000 in today's money in 1970, but the median family income for a Black family in Milwaukee today is about $31,000. So that's that we moved backwards.
You know, Reggie, and you made that money without even a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to live a middle class lifestyle, you know, and live the American dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 1970. I know that's my life. That's the story right. of my life. And I always try to tell people, it's not myself alone. That's the story of the lives of many people who live in rural America, because they had the paper mills, they had industry in their towns as well. And all of that left. And it was both Democrats and Republicans both who ushered that in. Right? And so mm-hmm. it was not either Democrat or Republican. They both agreed to that. And everybody's been trying to play catch up ever since. Only we hear about rural America suffering and those kind of things. We don't hear about Black suffering in the cities. 855-752-4842. Reggie Jackson's my guest on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You know, I'm so happy to have this opportunity, you know, not just because it's Black History Month of Civic Media. I want to thank the owners of Civic Media that allow this kind of dialogue and conversation over these airwaves that doesn't happen anywhere else. You know, I think in this nation, open and frank dialogue, that is what is needed. You know, Reggie, I would say this before we go back to the phone lines. We've got this divide between rural white America and urban Black America. And as you stated earlier, we've all been, the same thing has happened to both of us. We've been taken advantage of by a greedy corporate greed that has expanded and taken away opportunities for the American people. This has happened, and instead of us joining forces together, you know, there's been this divide that has been orchestrated and, you know, certainly has not benefited poor people who live in urban centers or poor people who live in rural places. You say what?
You know, Earl, you know, part of the challenge is that we have to get people to understand very clearly that we're all in this together. In terms of Americans, American workers have become much more productive over the course of time, but our wages have not reflected that. And that's been something that's been ongoing for generations, actually. If you go back to, you know, a period of time that most Americans forget about, Earl, is the recessions of the early 1980s. 1980, yes. There was a recession, but a much bigger and more deadly recession in 1981 through 82. That recession in 1981 through 82 was the largest recession since the Great Depression, and it did a tremendous amount of damage to American workers across the board, regardless of whether you were Black, white, Hispanic, everybody was impacted negatively. We've never fully recovered from that recession in many respects, because that was the beginning of the loss of a lot of American jobs. Manufacturing jobs started to disappear in large measure during that recession. You know, millions of people lost their jobs, were out of work. And as people came back to work, they started to see that their wages would not be increasing regularly as they had been accustomed to. And we've been seeing this, you know, this deflation in terms of wages that Americans make. We're making less money just for inflation than we made 50 years ago across the board.
Well, Reggie, and you are absolutely correct, because at the root of it was the destruction of private unions, right? They did away with private unions, which made sure that we were able to live those middle-class lifestyles. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom, good morning. You say what?
Good morning. As a gay white male, I know my white privilege. And this is my message to all of the white straight males and even straight white females out there. You know what? When you have, this is the way I understood diversity, equity, and inclusion. It meant that I was safe in the workplace. It meant that people couldn't just go along and say either jokes about black people, jokes about gay people, jokes about whoever, women. That was the whole point I thought of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And myself, as a very competent, smart person, I want to work for a company that actually has diversity, equity, and inclusion, because I can guarantee you, I will wipe the floor with any white straight man in terms of work ethic and everything else that goes along with it. So to me, diversity, equity, and inclusion means that we want a diverse workforce. And you know what? The more diversity there is, the better the country is. The more differences of opinion are, the better the country is, and the better that the middle class does, because you're not just dealing with white oligarchs or head of white of corporations at the good old boy network that doesn't give a crap about its employees. Same thing when I was working for a company here in California.
Hey Tom.
And I finally came up.
Tom, I'm sorry, man. We've reached the end. Sorry, I couldn't let you finish up, but we're out of time. Hey, Reggie, man, thank you. You know, I'm calling on you again.
Yeah, absolutely, Earl.
You know, man, this is this is the only way we can address what is happening in this nation is frank dialogue, right? Open and frank dialogue. And thank you for always presenting that from the perspective of a man who clearly knows what he's talking about, who's done the study, and who's been to the different places and had those kind of relationships. Thank you. We'll talk again soon. Thank everybody who made this show go. As always, I couldn't do it without you, Cardi, man. Thank you. Thank you to the listening audience. No better listening audience than the one I have. I believe that in my heart. Up next, Jane Madnair, Greg Bach, Madnair on Air. Hey, enjoy 50 Degrees. See you guys on tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.